read the passage in John's Gospel and chapter 6, a wonderful phrase. I've been thinking upon it this week when I read it. It's been coming back to our mind. Four times that this little phrase occurs. You have it in verse 38. For I came down from heaven. For I came down from heaven. We're here this morning to thank God that Christ came down to earth from heaven. He who is God and Lord of all became man. He came, why? Andrew has told us some of the reasons. But in verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And it's interesting to go through chapter 6 and underline that many times Christ said he was sent. He was sent. In fact, all through John's Gospel, Christ was sent. Sent by God the Father. Over in the epistle of 1 John, God the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That was the last memory verse of the children's meeting just a week ago. Sent. The Father was sent the Son. Why did he come? To do the Father's will. Well, did he? Did he? You know the sad thing? So many homes, even in our own town of Newton Ards here this morning, and they'll get together with families and have a good time together. And of course, that's good. Family get-togethers, having a nice meal. Very good. But they have no idea whether the one born in Bethlehem's manger accomplished what he came to do. And even sadder than that, they don't really care. They only think, if they think at all, that a baby was born in a place called Bethlehem. But they've no concept of why he came. And we're here this morning rejoicing because we know not only did God the Son become the babe in Bethlehem, but he did fulfill the will for which he came from heaven to earth. That's why we rejoice. He fulfilled the will of his Father. Now, of course, he fulfilled the law of God. God's will is revealed in the Ten Commandments. And Christ is the only person who ever kept the law perfectly in word and deed and thought. Not only did he never sin, an act of commission, but he never committed a sin of omission. He did all things that pleased the Father. He fulfilled the law perfectly. And you know what that does? It condemns us. Because every one of us, we cannot and we do not obey God's commandments. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that shows us that we need a Savior. We need someone to do what is necessary for our sins to be forgiven and to take us to heaven. And that's why God the Son came in to the earth, that he would do all that was necessary to save us. And that's the context here. That's the context. For in verse 40, the will of the Father is that if you, let's make it personal, that if you believe on him, you may have everlasting life and that you may be raised at the last day. Isn't that amazing? Every one of us here this morning, if you will believe in what the Lord Jesus Christ did in his life, in his death, and his resurrection, you can have everlasting life because you receive him as your Savior. It's interesting at his birth, and we all are familiar with it, that the Savior was given three gifts by the wise men. Think of them very briefly. He was given frankincense. Frankincense was used by the priests in the Old Testament for 1500 years. It was used in the offering of prayer. Incense, this liquid was placed upon the live coals and it symbolized prayer and worship. Frankincense reminds us the Lord Jesus Christ came to be the perfect priest. See, our Westminster Catechism is a great document. Christ became our Redeemer, executed the office of a Redeemer by being our prophet, priest, and king. And all the Old Testament prophets, priests, and kings were pointing forward to the perfect priest, prophet, and king. And I'm saying frankincense represents that he is the perfect priest. The perfect priest. I know Christ finished the work for which he came into this earth to do. I know he did. Because, do you remember as a boy of 12, he said to Mary, I must be about my Father's business. He said to his disciples one day, my meat is to do my Father's will. When he approached Calvary, he was able to say, I have fulfilled my Father's will. As he hung on that tree, he cried out a great word, finished! It is finished! Telestai in the Greek, it's finished! And do you know that word was used by priests in the Old Testament? And Christ is our great high priest. When a priest would take the lamb or the bullock, the offering, he would examine it. Are there any flaws in it? Is it without spot and blemish? And if that sacrifice was acceptable for its blood to be shed and the carcass to be burnt as an offering upon the altar, do you know what the priest would say? It's finished. Say, that's a strange. No, the word translated in the English finished is translated in different ways in Scripture. It's translated paid, to make an end of, to accomplish, to finish in other ways. And what the priest was saying, it's perfect. This lamb will do, it's perfect. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as our great high priest, offered himself the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on Calvary, here's the great truth of why Christ came into the world. He's greater than every Old Testament priest, because on Calvary, he offered the once perfect sacrifice for sins forever. And he sat down. In the Old Testament, there were no seats in the tabernacle or temple, because the priest's work was never done. Christ finished the work. He did the will of his Father as our priest. What about the myrrh? Well, that, of course, we know was used for burial, for anointing. That happened to Christ, of course, after he died. We know that. But the first time you ever read of that expensive spice in Scripture, do you know where you read about it? You should remember, congregation, because we had the model of the high priest. You remember we did the study of the high priest, the models in the minister's room there. Priests, prophets, and kings were all anointed with holy oil. And the main ingredient added to the olive oil was myrrh. Myrrh speaks of the anointing. We're here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is not his name. Never forget that. Christ is not his name. It's the title. He is Jesus the Christ. Christ means the anointed. Prophets were anointed. It's interesting in Psalm 45 where it speaks about prophetic of the coming of Christ in Psalm 45. And it says his tongue was like the pen of a ready writer, that grace was poured into his lips. And then it goes on to say in Psalm 45, all his garments smell of myrrh. You see, he's the perfect prophet. He's the perfect prophet. He came to show us the truth. He is truth. He came to be the way. He told his disciples in Mark 12, for instance, the Son of Man will go to Jerusalem. He'll suffer. He'll die. He'll be crucified. And then he'll rise again from the dead. And he fulfilled it when he cried on Calvary, finished, finished. He had fulfilled all the prophecies, Old Testament and the ones he had given to his disciples. He's the perfect prophet. He's the perfect priest. They also, when he was born, gave him gold. Gold, an offering fit for deity, an offering fit for a king. Oh, and we rejoice this morning that that babe in Bethlehem is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh yes, we do not worship the babe in the manger that he stayed there, but we worship the one who came to the manger and went to the cross. Because there on the cross as King of Kings, he fought the greatest battle. I know if you picture the scene in your mind, Christ nailed to the tree, the mob shouting at him, the blood flowing from him. He didn't look to human eyes like a king. But listen, the Bible teaches as he hung on that middle tree, that tree was like a throne because Jesus Christ was reigning that day. All events of Calvary were carried out at his command. Every event, even the gambling of the soldiers. I'm saying Christ was king. Read Matthew 27. Underline him many times. He's king. You see, this word finished. The Savior cried at Calvary. He came into this world to do the Father's will. Yes, he finished it. He finished it. The will his Father gave him to do. But he finished it as the perfect priest, one sacrifice for sins forever. He finished it as the perfect prophet, fulfilled all, but he fulfilled it as a king. You see, it's a warrior's word. In Bible times, the Greeks would use that word for a king who would go into battle, a great warrior. He'd fight the battle. And if he won the battle, he would cry, "Finished!" In other words, victory. Do you realize that Christ on Calvary shouted, he didn't expire, get weaker, frail, and whisper, "I'm finished"? No. He didn't say that. That's not what it meant. It says in the Bible, he shouted with a loud voice. You see, he was in control, and he shouted with a conqueror's cry, "It's finished." And then he sent his spirit away from his body. He voluntarily gave his life. No man took it from him. "I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again." And he sent his spirit away from his body. Can you not see what it is? He's king. The gold reminds us that gift when he was born. He's king. And there on Calvary, he fought the greatest battle that was ever fought. And our King of Kings, he defeated Satan. He defeated sin. And thank God he defeated death. And that's what gives hope, even in the midst when we think of our brother Billy's passing. That's what gives hope when a believer dies, that is absent from the body, present with the Lord. Why? Because in Calvary, King Jesus defeated death. That's why. He's king. And we're here this morning, why? Because we rejoice that the one who lay in that manger had come down to earth from heaven to be our prophet, priest, and king. And on Calvary, he won the victory for us. He won the victory. The question is, do you know him? Do you know him as Savior? Have you ever received him into your life? You see, this word, finished, he came to do the Father's will. He cried just as he gave up the ghost, finished. He had performed the work. Oh, I know he went on to rise again and reign, and that's all part of his great work. But the work he had come to do on earth, it's over. It's finished. The word finished, here's an interesting way it was used, by an artist. Here's a master artist, let's say a painting. He has worked on it and worked on it, changed things, and he says, "I'm satisfied. It's finished. It's finished." You go to some of these art galleries and they're worth millions. Finished. You don't take your little, maybe you got a paint set for Christmas this morning or pencils to draw. Well, you try to go in and touch up the Mona Lisa. Over in Paramount, you'll be arrested. Of course, you're not getting near, it's behind plate glass. A masterpiece, you can't add. And listen, when Christ died on Calvary and cried, "It's finished," it's complete. It's complete. God the Father is satisfied with what Christ did. It's complete. And it sets forth his glory. Do you know him this morning? Do you know him as your Savior? Have you trusted him? It's not enough to know about these things. You need to know him as your Savior.